dead. Dead. Everyone,
hi.
And welcome to yet another episode of Chris Messing Everything Up.
Bonjour.
This is another episode of Craft Beer is Dead. I am one of your hosts, Bree the Pint-Sized Traveler, accompanied by Chris Face.
Oh, no. That's where I go this time? Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, Chris Face. I'm still getting my timing down.
Oh, my God. So we are back, and we are here with a full beer news episode. We have a few stories for you guys. We also have some burr to sure, so might as well start with that, eh?
Yeah, the sure burr.
The sure burr. So this is Lupulo from Oxbow Brewing. They are out of, what'd you say, Maine?
Yep.
So dry hop pills. Kind of fun on the can. It says production time, 6 weeks. Keep cold, enjoy within 1 year.
Yeah, I was pretty excited when I saw the can on that one.
Love that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so if you're a beer nerd, so, like, everyone and their mom out there has, like, all these different theories on lager and stuff like that, depending on who you talk to. No one's right. No one's wrong. Some are bad. Some are good. And it's all subjective. It's fine, people. But for the beer nerds out there, be like, no, real lagers are only at this long. It's kind of cool that they actually put how long they actually took to make the lager, because some of them are fast turnaround. Some of them could be a little bit longer. So
I've never seen that included on a can. So it says Lupulo is an unfiltered pills brewed with European malts and noble hops, named after the Italian word for hop.
Oh,
that's fun.
Look at those cheeky little little people over there.
This Italian-style pils is an homage to the hop-forward pale lagers produced in Italy.
So, what is an Italian-style pils? I honestly, like, okay, this, so, all right, let's see here. I'm going to be completely honest here real fast, and it's kind of embarrassing, and I'm fine with that. I feel like sometimes you hear of certain styles, and you're like, no, that's not a thing. Somebody made that up. What are you talking about? And so when somebody's like, Italian Pilsner, I was like, why Italian? Why not Chinese? Why not Brazilian, yeah. Right? So, yeah, Italian Pilsner, it's just one of those kind of
but
like...
But Italian is the one that you would be like, oh, that's weird. Like, I just think, I don't know.
Why are Italians
culinary
weird?
Culinary and like all these different things, they're more the progressive and...
Hence why they have their own Pilsner.
Well, what about the Bohemians? They didn't do anything to deserve that.
Yeah, they're falling off the wayside. Yeah, when's the last time you met a fucking Bohemian?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know.
They're a dying breed. Yeah, they all hang out at the Moulin Rouge or some shit.
And the plant stores in Orlando.
Hey, don't besmirch the plant stores.
Don't besmirch.
I find myself in there.
It's a good word.
Kind of frequently, actually, nowadays. I just bought a cactus. His name is Sam. And he's getting used to being in the house because all of his friends are gone. And I talk to him in the mornings, and he's getting over it. He's starting to adapt.
You probably still don't have that cactus I got you.
You mean the one that's over on the tool bench over there?
Is it even alive anymore? Is it just petrified?
I can't tell if it's probably a cactus ghost. It's a ghost cactus.
It is with all the dust on it.
Yeah, it's a ghost cactus. It's a spooky spiky. So,
God damn it. Now that's the name of this episode.
Oh, wait. Thank you. Spooky Spike. No, that's going to confuse the fuck
it
out
will,
of people.
Because of spookies. You're
God
right.
God damn it. We'll have to wait till later
you're
on.
Right. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, love this. I get a like caramel kind of character on it.
I could see that. Actually, it's really clean. It's kind of fun. So, the Italian Pilsner, I don't think I ever actually answered it, is much more of like a dry hopped Pilsner kind of thing, right? Super clean, really fun. I like that a lot. I get the caramel thing that you're talking about, but that just could be like a decoction or like a longer boil on like an all pilsner kind of thing.
Okay.
But again, I don't want to sit there and say they did do that or they didn't do that because I don't know. I wasn't there.
Tapers off immediately.
That's a very, very crispy boy. And I'm very excited to try that one today because we literally just launched last night while we're recording this. So last week, if you're listening to this, our version of an Italian Pils as well.
It's almost like I looked in the beer fridge and thought that and Whoa! Thought you might want to try that. Weird.
Crazy.
Speaking of Italian Pilsners, just kidding. This has nothing to do with it.
Go ahead. Oh, wait.
What?
Wait, I wanted...
What?
I needed to break your segue.
What?
Unsegue. No, so like giving them some love and stuff like that. They're up in Maine.
Oh.
So they got Lupulo. I don't know if that's necessarily a core brand, but looking on their website right now, we have a farmhouse pale ale. That's definitely worth checking out. Alpha Minor, which sounds like a solid saison, a barrel-aged farmhouse with fruit.
Ooh.
Oh, how generic does that sound? I'm so sorry. I should have picked something a little bit. Turns out they do a lot of farmhouse and lagers, which sounds like it's right up my alley.
Right? That'd be a good place to go get a flight.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, man. I want to do a whole other brewery of just farmhouse and lagers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be dope.
Yeah.
So, actually, I got some friends coming back from Chicago, and if they're able to score some for me, we might be able to try some stuff from Dovetail, which literally does just that.
It's oh, like really?
All traditional.
That's awesome.
Only German-style lagering, lager tanks, copper system, Damn. All that kind of stuff, decoction ton, all that. And then they also do, the only other thing they do is open fermented farmhouse stuff. So they have a massive cool ship and
That's
everything.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool, actually.
It was interesting because, like, I met this kid when I was up in school up there, and, like, he'd only been brewing for, like, 2.5 years. And we're going over all this stuff, and you can tell he's a lot more on it than, like, most people his age and most people who've been brewing that long. And so as we started talking, he was like, yeah, this is like, yeah, we don't really do hazies. Like, I don't really know much about them, or I don't really know much about this, that, or whatever. And he's like, but yeah, we do all this, this, and this. And then just like, you're a wealth of information of two things, and it's insane, and I love it.
That is cool. I mean, that's a good premises to have, is why be kind of knowledgeable on 50 different things when you could be super knowledgeable on a couple things, you know?
Yeah, I mean, from experience, it doesn't lend itself to a lot of friends. Speaking of Italian Pilsners.
So let's just jump into some stories, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So kind of want to start off with this, which will kind of taper into another one, which will work. So Heineken is unfortunately letting go of 8,000 employees worldwide. So by them being the world's second largest beer manufacturer, it shows that they are taking a hit. And since packaged beer sales for them actually really didn't go down like too much during the pandemic and everything, obviously that indicates that there is some other ish going on. So evidently, from what I read, they recorded a quote-unquote several impairment charges totaling more than $1.1 billion, yes, billion, to, quote, tangible and intangible assets in operating profit. So basically, from what I gathered, that just means that they lost $1.1 billion because they either used someone's physical property or something that doesn't physically exist yet but has monetary value, i.e., intellectual property. Either way, a big no-no, because that's probably one of the largest sums of money lost I've ever heard of in a situation like this.
Yeah, that's a pretty big one.
That's huge.
I'm trying to look up right now just if I can find out any specific lawsuits that they might have lost recently. I didn't see any
on there, honestly.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of like non-disclosure kind of stuff involved in those kind of things.
Especially with that much money involved.
I mean, that's
some shady shit had to have gone for that sum of money to be brought up.
Absolutely. And then so you've got, let's see here, a Romanian one that they lost against in 2015, which, I mean, if they're just now making changes on that,
there's no way.
And then they've also got the Biscayne Bay one that we had talked about, I think, on like one of the first few episodes.
Yeah. Yep.
Out of Miami, they were suing Heineken as well. So,
but that, you know, I still don't think that would
total that.
No way.
No. And I'm always rooting for the little guy. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But that seems a little too recently. As I'm looking through this too, that's one big facet of it. And we had talked about like sales and stuff like that over last year. It looks like, so obviously in the U.S., depending on where you're listening, here in Florida, we noticed that like off-premise sales, so things you could buy at like the supermarket and those kind of things, shot through the roof.
Yeah.
Because everyone's basically just drinking at home.
Exactly.
And even then now...
And that's where they thrive, really,
yeah,
a lot.
And they do really well on-premise as well, because they've got a lot of money for, like, on-site kind of things, for, like, POS, marketing packages.
They're in every theme park. They're in every stadium. They're everywhere like that, but...
It's almost hard not to find them.
Yeah,
And they also, you know, I would move to say they've done fairly well this last year with the release of their 00.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
So, you know, with the U.S., we could probably look at it specifically and say, hey, maybe, you know, they're doing fine sales-wise. But it also, like, one of the ones that I just found with CNN.com, it just says that they're, like, it's trying to move beyond beer. So I don't know if maybe they're trying to...
Is that seltzer, do you think?
Possibly. I don't know if
that's
they're actually...
That's immediately where my brain goes. Yeah. Because there's no way that they're going to try to get out of, like, the alcohol industry, especially after the year they just had, and being able to show that you could just, if you just mold, you know, roll with the times.
Mm-hmm.
There's no... It has to be seltzer.
It's possible.
Because who... Corona, Bud Light, everybody, have they done a seltzer yet? No.
I haven't seen Heineken do one specifically, but they also have a lot of brands under their portfolio too. So they've got Amstel, they've got Moretti, they've got a few different other brands throughout Europe.
Yeah.
And I think that was the biggest thing is, you know, here in the US, we're being a bunch of fuckheads and we just like stay open. We just put our head in the hole and pretend like the virus isn't around.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're being ostriches, everyone else is actually like going in their caves for a while and trying to stay away from it. It's been long enough to where like it doesn't matter now, everyone's getting it. But with over in Europe, they've been shut down for so long that their sales over there have diminished.
I think even still, am I wrong?
They've diminished upwards of, I'm looking at it now, upwards of like 30% or 20%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because that does say worldwide, so it's not just the States, but...
So basically what they've done is they've laid off, how many people again?
8,000
jobs to try and account for at least $2.4 billion over the next 2 years to kind of regroup. That's...
I mean, I get it. I just can't go around, like, the loss of the billion. So, obviously, yeah, the pandemic affected them, and if you have to lay people off, that's understandable. But it sounds like they're predominantly trying to lay people off to overcompensate for something that they did shadily, you know?
Yeah.
And that's an assumption. I actually don't know that, but
at the end of the day, too, it's just kind of a stark reality where, like, you know, it's one thing to see small businesses have to do things, and it's unfortunately a sight we see too often after this last year.
Mm-hmm.
But to see large companies like this, you know, granted, at the same time, in the beer industry, people can have their opinions on big versus little and all that kind of shit, but, you know, they're still making beer.
Yeah.
They're employing people. These are people with families.
Exactly.
So it's kind of scary to see something that well-structured and somebody that big literally having no choice but to take a hit in that kind of regard just to be able to recoup to get back to base.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, that is a very good point. Thankfully... I did also read that Anheuser-Busch is moving production of Stella Artois to the U.S.
Did they say where?
No. Okay. Well, if they did, it was a very short article I saw on that. So if you could find that out quick, that'd be great.
Sure, I'll look at it.
It was obviously being imported from Europe to the States before this. But this is actually a big deal since, like we said before, the whole Heineken thing is taking away a good amount of jobs from people in the States. So, and they're the second largest manufacturer, and Anheuser-Busch is the largest, world's largest.
That
can only be good job force-wise.
And it's also one of those things we talked about before, too, to where it's... They're using a massive network of breweries that they've acquired over the years. And so, yes, it's AB, and yes, it's Budweiser, yes, it's Stella, and yes, it's all these different brands. But, like, the one thing I do have a lot of respect for is the fact that they're able to recreate all these different brands in completely different environments.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what they'll do is they'll probably, just from a geographical standpoint and from a distribution standpoint, to make it easier for logistics, just trying to... spread out the production of it to make it more readily available to people.
Yeah.
So.
And how mad could people really be? It's like, who doesn't know a friend who isn't a bartender or server at like a TGI Fridays or something?
Yeah.
That's not, you know, if you think that's taking away from the small business, like, you still have to have a job, you know?
Yeah. And even then, too, it's basically they're going to be launching those in four of Anheuser InBev's breweries throughout the U.S., including... St. Louis, And that's according to St. Louis Today.
Mm, nice.
Yeah. So at least St. Louis is going to be doing fine as far as making beer goes.
I wonder if St. Louis currently has, you know, restaurants and stuff open. Did also read that there's a bunch of states, thank God, who are finally kind of opening back up for on-site consumption in restaurants.
Yeah.
I think I read around Valentine's Day weekend, so coming up. So thank God. You know, I mean, most of them closed down, excuse me, right before Thanksgiving. And, you know, that's a huge money-making weekend, and so is Valentine's Day. So hopefully they can at least start off on the right foot. But, I mean, look at now they're having to reorder and do all their ordering and stuff again. And who knows, you know, it's just so scary.
It's just crazy.
I can't imagine being in that situation.
There's that, and then just, like, the sheer nightmare of everything that – I mean, if you're a brewery with national distribution right now, it's got to be terrifying because – there's no projections. Like, even on the small scale that we're on, we distribute it, like, literally a handful of cases every few months, but everything stays in house, right?
Yep.
So, with us, we're probably terrible at this, but, like, we're just now getting a handle on being able to project sales, being able to project, you know, what we can do in 6 months
Now wipe that slate clean because now you have no idea what's going to happen.
Well, and like now we're getting back to it, which is nice because we have continual data. We have, you know, within our state, we are open following certain guidelines and those kind of things. But, you know, sales are consistent. But like last year, I mean, even on something so small as our scale, like every week was different. You had no idea what was going to happen. And that's unfortunately the same position that a lot of these other states are in now, too. So if you're somebody like, you know, Sierra Nevada or New Belgium or Dogfish Head or all these like bigger brands that are almost like basically nationwide.
Yeah.
It's got to be a fucking nightmare trying to figure out. All right. Well, OK, Virginia's closed this week, but then they just opened Delaware. But Delaware was only open for a couple weeks. And then we got to worry about picking up a bunch of old beer from this distributor. And maybe we can tack it on to the truck that's coming back from Nebraska, and if we can't, maybe we can place it like...
This is a sales team nightmare.
Yeah.
And the merchandising, everything.
I would go drown myself in a fermenter after that, man. Jesus.
That sounds horrible.
So, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people forget just the effects that has and just gumming up the works for a lot of these breweries. And hopefully a lot of them are getting back on, but I don't know. It's crazy. It's just one of those kind of things behind the curtain you don't think about.
Oh, absolutely. And just finally, we're at least hearing... We'll call this good news. It is good news. They're able to open up again. So, you know, just our thoughts are with everyone. I get messages all the time. Even, you know, we just went to Universal the other day and it was the most dead I've ever seen the park. I mean, it was amazing. And I'm getting messages left and right. And I can't say it doesn't affect me because I get put into like a little bit sadder mood because I'm like, I'm trying to enjoy this day, but then I hear this person messaging me saying like, wow, like I can't even go to a restaurant right now. It's like very awesome that you can go to that theme park, you know, and you're just like, damn, you're so right. And it just perspective. That's it, you know.
And it's also weird too, because I mean, like even when we went to Austin, there were some places that like were literally just curbside. So, you know, we probably look like the stereotypical Florida dickhead. Walking around and be like, oh, you guys aren't open?
Yeah.
We're open?
Yeah.
Why aren't you
for open? Months.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, well, we're trying to do a little bit better than DeSantis. Which at this point isn't hard. I don't know if you saw anything from fucking Tampa over the week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my God. So
I know. It's still going on. The parades and stuff, I think, are today, aren't they? Or there's still more?
Yeah, I guess, bad. Man. It's everyone's worried about it until they want to have more fun. So that's the two rules. Everyone's worried about it until one, they don't care because they want to have fun, or two, they can't afford to be worried about it anymore. They'll be like, well, whatever, let's all go back to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I get it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a mental thing.
But yeah, good job, Tom Brady. Also,
it was awesome. I mean, it was a good game. That it's look, like that's fucking amazing.
I am either the worst or the best person to talk about Tom Brady to. And the reason I say that is I know nothing about him. And every time I ask somebody why you hate him, they're all like, "Well, because he wins so much and he cheats."
How are you mad? He does not like, cheat.
And I was like, "If he wins so much, just be better than him. If you're not." Then
we
he's going
to
beat
Brendan
you.
Brendan on this subject. Yeah. So our the taproom manager, we had no idea. She is just as cute as little button, tiny little thing. And evidently she's a part of like 4 fantasy football leagues, and she's like crazy into it. Yeah, that just threw me off. So I bet you she could rattle off some statistics right now.
Maybe we'll have to start a sports show too or something.
Fuck no.
Thank God. I was about to quit and throw my fucking headphones against the wall. But I will say on a side note, that halftime show was fucking garbage.
I didn't even watch it, and now I see all the photos of the weekend, and like, yeah. It had a storyline though, right? Like, didn't he do some? Well, it was supposed to. He's been leading up to this. Go back and actually, like, look for the last month or so. He's been dropping, not like clues and stuff, but evidently it's all led up to like some type of storyline behind it.
If you should have dropped some more clues, I think, because all I saw was him trying to look like Michael Jackson.
The dead eyes on Chris's face, just going, "Oh, yeah. Cool." Mm.
No, he just danced like Michael Jackson poorly, keep winking at the camera, making me want to throw up.
Ew,
and then he had a bunch of just dancers with underwear on their face. Yeah. Or like, I can't tell if they were underwear face or like the people from Us. And it was just creepy. I just found it creepy. That was me.
Oh, man.
But his songs are great.
I like The Weeknd. It was just, I don't know, fucking Justin Timberlake. Everyone just has to be so PG and scared of doing anything crazy for halftime shows because of him. So,
well, I mean, just kidding. It was an accident. It was wardrobe malfunction.
I'm going to have you naked by the end of this song. Whoosh. Okay.
Was that the end of the song, though?
Literally the end of the song and the line as it was ripped off of her tit.
So he lied.
That's what he said as he ripped it off her tit. I'ma have you naked by the end of this song.
But he lied because the song was over. Meanwhile, everyone's freaking out about Adam Levine with his shirt off.
I was not, so.
I don't blame you. He's got tattoos like a tattoo parlor pig, though. They're just everywhere.
He really does. Yeah. I don't like stomach tattoos. I'm not.
You don't want Doug to get Doug life on his stomach?
No, just across his chest. No.
Oh, my God.
God, no. Not a leg tattoo fan or a stomach or chest tattoo fan.
Or an arm or a neck or a face.
No, I don't care if you get your face tattooed. Allie's getting a huge piece of barley going down her face.
All right. That's a bold choice. I mean, I like the way to lean into it, though.
So I got one kind of minor story if you want to dive into it.
No.
No? All right.
Let's talk about ducks.
So Sunday Beer, whom out of... they're out of New York City. Unfortunately, I've never
Sunday
personally...
Beer?
Yeah, Sunday Beer. I've never heard of them, unfortunately, before this. But after reading about them, I definitely want to keep them more on my radar. They announced that they're committed to become a climate neutral certified brewery establishment. They're working with an independent nonprofit organization that helps companies measure their carbon footprint and help reduce emissions moving forward. I think that's super important, especially in a place like New York City, of course. And breweries just typically... I think are like kind of come off more on like the eco-friendly side.
Yeah.
Is that weird to say? I don't know. I think that like the more the people that I meet in the industry, 99% of them like recycle and care about the environment. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's also just kind of derivative of the industry itself. Because, you know, the average person say a larger demographic of the people walking around saying like, local grocery store, just buying macro stuff, not putting thought into or wanting to change or anything like that, or necessarily caring about where it comes from, mm-hmm. versus people who, you know, like go out of their way to try to produce it, or like, you know, influencers or bloggers or just, you know, regular beer fans who go out of their way to support local breweries and stuff, actually care about like chopping out that separation from product to person.
Yeah.
So absolutely. They want to see where it's coming from. They want to see, you know, what's behind it, what the stories are, who the people are behind it, those kind of things. And because they care that much about the product, they also probably in turn care about a lot of other aspects of their life too.
No, that makes perfect sense, honestly.
I just pulled that out of my ass.
I know, but...
Yeah. Well, you're the only one here to see it, so...
You guys are very fortunate to have not witnessed that.
Check out my fans only. It's at Chris Face. Or is it OnlyFans? Oh, shit, I'm on the wrong one! I was wondering what it was, .gov.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right. Well,
No, but seriously, please, I need the money. I'll do anything.
I'll load your beer for you.
Not again. Is this enough? I hope it's enough.
Oh, jeez, Louise.
Hey, speaking of Italian pilsners, I'm
you
sorry.
You better have a fucking point.
Italian pilsners can sometimes be brewed in the mountains, right? Mm-hmm. Why do you look like you're going to fart?
Because I don't know what you're going to say.
And you know where else has mountains? Colorado. Mm-hmm. That has mountains. And you know what's in Colorado is Boulder. A boulder can be part of a mountain. Anyway, Boulder beer. That's a natural segue, right? Mm-hmm. Boulder Beer Company has opened another chapter in its long and storied history with a relaunch and refresh of the brand. This all comes from PorchDrinking.com. It includes new can designs, a realignment of the beer's portfolio, and new partnership to help roll out the refreshed brand. So I'm looking at a whole bunch of their new stuff, which, you know, if you're not familiar with Boulder Brewing or Boulder Beer, they were... Have you ever had a lot from them at all? Or
I just won.
Okay. So I know a lot of, like, they were pretty heavy in the market, at least when I first started drinking beer, back in the old days. And, like, hazed and infused was awesome. I love that one. It was like a dry hopped pale ale, which was crazy. Solid at the name. Time, right? And then they had, like, Killer Penguin and a whole bunch of other things that, like, an oak aged barley wine that came out every year. But they always made really, really great stuff. They had a pretty solid core lineup. And then they just kind of like dialed back distribution for a while. And then now it's really, because honestly, before this article, I hadn't thought about them in years because we just haven't seen them in Florida for a very long time. So I'm looking at, I don't know if you can find pictures of the labels at all. But going through it, like the new branding versus the old branding is insane. It's like super modern looking. It's almost like Ansel Adams meets like some sort of Pinterest geometrical artist kind of thing. So, super cool. I'm really excited. I'm hoping we'll actually see some more of their stuff back down this way. They're also realigning a lot of their beer choices to kind of get a little bit more updated with current styles and stuff. So,
I'm gonna look them up on Instagram too.
Oh, I'm sure they're doing a massive push on that. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking at these. I super love them. They are massively clean. A lot of just like gray and white landscape kind of stuff with just like one bold color kind of thing.
Yeah,
they're clean as fuck.
I really like how they're incorporating the mountains into the backgrounds of the can art photos.
And nothing against...
They just started doing that.
Yeah. So if you're looking at... If you can see some of their older stuff, too, nothing against it.
But it's totally different. You can tell someone even new took over their social media. I mean, it's like night and day.
Yeah, and then, like, nothing against their old stuff, but it's very much reminiscent of that whole kind of, like, you know, 1980s... We're in the mountains. We got an oval that we put our information on, and the background's a crazy color. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it just looks a lot more professional and like in just professional. It looks really nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's way cool.
So they're actually they're
we need to go there.
Yeah.
Boulder. And absolutely. That's right by that beer spa just opened up there.
Beer spa?
Oh my god. Yo, so it's tell me about that. Whole spa that is clearly beer themed.
Okay.
And you know, you could do the beer baths and like the whole place is just one of the most aesthetically pleasing places I've ever seen in my life.
I already had a beer bath yesterday. And it was
when you got exploded
on? When one of my fucking hoses blew off and then shot Pilsner in my face. That was great.
So it was a wet ass Pilsner?
Yep, pretty much. That was me. A little wet ass Pilsner boy. Anyway, beer spa. Italian Pilsners. Oh, theming. Oh, I love it. Speaking of,
was that me to speaking of
segue?
Yeah, solid beer spa.
Yeah,
I'm going. You're not.
I'm just gonna go on random weird tangents in the middle of it.
Well, good luck with that. It's actually ironic. You said that Highland Brewing, I guess, adds High Pines Imperial IPA to their year-round lineup, and they kind of rarely add things to the year-round lineup. Like they're very selective.
Yeah,
very selective. So
they're also one that's been doing like extremely well since their rebranding a few years ago.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And shout out to Caitlin, my homegirl who runs their social. She is the shit.
Shout out to Tim. I don't know what you're doing there, Tim, but people keep telling me you still work there, so good job, I guess.
Good job. Keep doing you, buddy.
Keep doing you, man.
Good job.
They say they like you. That's a plus. That's a great plus.
I haven't heard that. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to be nice. All right. So I had one more, and I apologize. I didn't have, like, a huge amount of time to look into the details, so I won't make anything up like regular journalism. No, but I thought this was kind of crazy. So, you know, we've touched on before how many big breweries are bought by other breweries, who owns this and blah, 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 blah. And so I found this one through just like, the parent company of New Belgium. Mm-hmm. So this isn't stated to say anything against New Belgium or anything against whatever.
Just context.
But Kieran Holdings actually has like New Belgium. They've got Funkworks, Brooklyn Brewing, 21st Amendment, a whole bunch of them. And they're based out of Japan. Obviously, and they've recently terminated a partnership with the Myanmar Economic Holdings Public Company Limited. It's a military-owned conglomerate that just overthrew the government in Myanmar. So, Kieran got a little bit of flack for that one. They pulled their funding.
A little bit.
And then, Myanmar was like, the company was like, it's fine. We literally used your money to do it. So... that's always fun.
Imagine waking up to that email.
Yeah. No, it's terrible. It's something with an ethnic cleansing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's getting pretty gnarly.
Wow.
Killing thousands and forcing 750,000 to flee to neighboring Bangladesh.
And Kieran just continued. So was there, I don't know anything about their government, was it? What kind of government was it?
It was an elected government.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I don't know if it was necessarily
democratic, but yeah.
Oh, shit.
So, I mean, it's been happening since at least...
So some radicals just are... Yeah.
Yeah. So 2017 is when the ethnic cleansing started, more or less.
Wow.
And Kieran just continued to do business as usual. So...
oh, my God.
Not saying...
that's a long time.
Yeah, man.
That's a long time.
I mean, that's kind of one of those, don't, I mean, that's a one-time thing, you know what I mean? You go, out with, like, one at the cleanse, we don't give you more money. That's the way it should be,
honestly,
you know what I mean?
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Jeez Louise.
But yeah. So, you know, keep that in mind next time you go to and get, you know, sushi and they have Kieran or
yeah,
one of the other ones.
Honestly.
Maybe.
Well, that's good to know, honestly.
Yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. I would prefer to know that as a consumer than not.
Yeah, I mean, the things that you're not privy to that are happening in the world while you're eating sushi. Appreciate your life, boys and girls.
For real.
So, yeah, that's all I got for news stories. Anything else from you?
Nope. Want to get into some what the fucks?
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
We should make like a little
kind of thing right there. And then dive into the...
Yeah. Or maybe we can have you make up a song next
fuck
time.
Fuck you, Chris.
Actually, I'll take that sound clip like boom 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 boom. Fuck you, Chris. Boom boom fuck 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 you.
I'm not mad about it, and I might make it my ringtone only when you call.
I'm gonna call you randomly while you're in very serious things. I'm like, God damn it, fuck you, Chris. Be like, it's like from the phone. Do you hear it?
So authentic.
All right, you want to start off?
Yeah, I got one.
All right.
All right. So this is Mile. He's Untapped at Home, Gorillas in the Grist, a Great Notion Brewing beer, a Stout Imperial, Double Stout, and gave it a 4.0, which is, you know, a decent rating, but his verbiage is, I was hoping more for Runt's fake banana flavor than the real thing. Very disappointed.
I saw that one. I almost used that one, too.
Like,
yeah.
Like, fake runs. Who the shit? That's the worst kind of run. That is the worst of the runs.
So, that is actually why I fucking hate, like, Hefeweizen's
yes!
and all that stuff. Because the artificial banana flavor,
same.
For those of you who want to know, isomalt acetate out there, is very, very prominent in Belgian and German wheat yeast. And then, obviously, in food production. So, you can't actually really make something taste like a banana. It just tastes like that, and it tastes like a butt.
Yeah.
A bad butt.
Not good.
Yeah.
And Hefeweizens were the first sours. I tried a little. Hefeweizens were was the first style that I gravitated towards and consistently ordered at breweries.
Yeah.
And then I just...
which is why we named ours after you.
And then I just hate them now so much. I can't even smell them, really. I hate them.
I just can't stand that smell.
I hate it. It's the banana too. It's only, and it's even if they're balanced, like power to you. I fucking still hate it.
Yep, me too. So we still make one, and yeah, I'm glad
and
people like it.
Loves it. It's like some people's absolute favorite beer.
Yep, and so, I hate cleaning that tank.
Yeah,
it smells like a bunch of runts. So I've got one too. Hopefully it's not the same one you have. It's a Mark. I don't know if it's, was it Mark from you last time? Maybe it's the same Mark. I don't know. Maybe they're buddies.
No, it's Mile.
Oh, Mark and Mile. old Amy.
And then my next one's Matt.
So. Oh, cool. Staying on theme today. Speaking of Italian pilsners,
it better be an Italian pilsner. Fucking Chris.
No, so he rated one from Toppling Goliath Brewing Company, the Kaiju Clash. Mm, it shows here a picture of what looks like him dropping the bottle on the floor with glass everywhere, beer everywhere, and 3 out of 5 stars. Would likely have rated it much higher if I didn't have to sip it off the floor.
Oh my god, I have that one saved.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh my god. All right.
I forgot about that one. I wasn't going to read that one this time too, and I'm glad you did because that was like a really good one.
Yeah, that was like, oh,
fuck
god,
you,
damn.
Man. So Matt L, reply hazy, try again from Hot Butcher for the World, Imperial Double New England IPA, 3.0, wasted beer, first post-COVID beer, can't taste it.
Ugh.
Score is not an accurate representation of how it tastes, but he still didn't just check it in. Motherfucker rated it a 3.0. And
fuck you.
Proclaim, fuck you. Dude, fuck you, Matt L.
Go drink some fucking seltzers. Though. Give your fucking give balls, your balls tucked, tit fucker.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of M's, I got one from MK. That's Bolshevik. Or Bolshevik. from Cloudburst Brewing. It's a Baltic Porter. So 1016 in 2020. Removing a 1 out of 4 star for pretentious and inaccurate description. He's actually our hero today. Because he actually went back and re-rated the beer because he was just like, oh, I was being a dick. So good for you, buddy.
Wow.
We need more of you.
That's
you
might very actually, rare.
Yeah, you're actually like our hero this week, I think.
Right? We'll do a hero. The beer yeah. hero of the
Untapped
week.
Heroes?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. Actually?
Dude,
and
we
then
can,
we'll find their account and tag them.
Maybe I should start one that's like the counterpoint to Untapped What the Fuck.
Yeah.
Like a Batman and like Joker kind of thing. And be like, we're the good guys. And we're like, we show you all the dum-dums. All right, you got any more?
I got one more, just because it's also a learning point. So Jacob Cordelette from North County Brewing. It's an American brown ale. Weak flavor. We'll have to revisit since it's slightly slushy since I threw it in the freezer and it froze. Any rate, gave it a 2.7.
Jacob, you should know no one likes you. You should just be a better person.
And stop throwing your beer in the fucking freezer and forgetting
about
it.
I mean, I've done it. I've done that.
I do it all the time, and then I would never rate it. Like, I just had a Jester King bottle blow up on me on my birthday because I was an asshole and left it in the freezer. But
you had
like
so many like points of like, it was good. Yeah, sorry about that one. Was it a good one, though? Did you get to drink it off the floor or out of the ice cubes or anything?
No, Doug's mom, like, we woke up on Christmas on my birthday, and she's, like, looking, like, real scared and real, like, she's got some news for us, and I'm, like, getting real awkward, like, what the fuck is she gonna say? And then finally she's like, so, you know that bottle you're really excited about and I've been talking about for the last couple days? Like, I was really excited about this. She's like, so, it kind of blew up in the freezer, blah, blah, blah. So, you want to open presents? Like, she literally
turned it way to fucking come in with a second option.
It was really funny.
It's like when a kid drops his, like, lollipop. You're like, it's okay. We got candy. It's
yes,
fine.
Yeah. She's like, you got presents.
All right. So, I got one more. And it's not necessarily, it's one that I saw on Untapped One the Fuck. It's not necessarily a review.
Okay.
But it was a prank done by U.S. Stein Holding. So if you can ever find it, it's on their probably like their first 6 posts that they've done, right? And it's a nice
Oops.
Little promo shot just a white bottle with a glass that just like looks really really white and powdery, and it's called Oops All Lactose. We work with a lot of bars and breweries, so we can stay on top of the cutting edge of craft beer trends. Tons of breweries have been using innovative ingredients, and we see where the industry seems to be heading. So with our extensive knowledge and almost 15 years of homebrewing experience, we are excited to present the first ever U.S. Steinholding Association Brewing Company offering. For Oops All Lactose, we take 100% lactose, do nothing to process it further, and then put it in a bottle. It pours a thick white powder with low to moderate dust formation. It has zero carbonation and is a full-bodied with a powdery, slightly gritty mouthfeel. The flavor is mild, slightly sweet, with hints of dairy.
Hints of dairy.
Note to all breweries, we're open to collabs, so hit us up.
No, it doesn't say that.
Yeah.
At the end, it really says
yeah.
We're open to collabs.
So that was funny as fuck. It's just it's literally just a pint glass full of lactose.
Yeah. That's really funny. Yep. So we're open to collabs.
You could probably put that in the freezer if you needed to, you know?
That's super funny.
Yeah, so that was pretty good.
When you turned around, it looked like it was actually, you know, like a white beer. Like, you know how RAR does, you know, their milk, cereal milk sours that are just all white.
Yeah.
And it's actually edible. So I thought that it was going to be a serious thing. That's very funny.
That's pretty solid, right?
So you're going to collab with them, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'll hit them up. Maybe we can do like Oops All Maltos or something. I don't know. But
I dig that.
Yeah, so that's all I found. Yeah. So I don't know. What's the key takeaways from today?
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Don't put your beer in the freezer and leave it there. Okay. And then rate it.
And then rate it. Don't give money to Myanmar militaries. Because they're really not great. I'm just saying, like, you do you, man. But like, ethnic cleansing, just that's so not a good time. And then, yeah, Heineken, I don't know, help them out, buy a Heineken or something.
Yeah.
Buy an Italian Pilsner.
Or not, from here, or anywhere else, but don't give your friend shit if they work for them. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Which actually reverts back to rule one, don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. Well.
All right.
well, anyway. Gents.
I was just going to try to mirror you the whole time.
I know. I knew exactly what you were going to do. That's why I stopped again. Like, let's get this out of
the
system.
Well, we got the one dole on one side. I can give it toodles.
Toodles. Dead. Dead.